Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio, the morning tailgate here on this Wednesday. Vinny Bonsignor, VegasNation.com. Clay Baker here with you, all inside our Las Vegas studios. We'll also be joined later this hour, do a little street legal with Ash Watkins from Salmon Ash Injury Law. That'll be at 9:45. 702-365-9200 is the number to reach us here at the station. It's our text line. You can always reach us here, 702-365-9200, either the text or the phones. And if you want to be a part of that summer fun vacation cruise to Mexico, 7 days and nights, text the word FLY, F-L-Y, to 702-365-9200. Marcus Johnson joins us now, the man behind Tape Don't Lie on YouTube. Go up to YouTube and subscribe. It'll change your life. All the great information and content that Marcus and the crew put out each and every day is unbelievable. Check it out at TheMarkJohnNFL on X, and he joins us here on Wednesdays at this time. Marcus, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Hey, you know what? We were just kind of talking about, overall how, quarterbacks are taking a look at, looking at, especially at the Raiders level, where, you're looking at production and how guys can get used more usefully. And when Davante Adams is out on Netflix on receiver, and, he was obviously unhappy with the way the offense was structured. But towards the end of the docuseries, he felt a little more impressed by the guidance of the team, the direction of the team. How do you think that Davante Adams wants to see his role in this offense, especially with a Luke Getsy type offense where you're changing now to West Coast style? How do you think this will look differently for Davante Adams, especially where he's lined up and where he's going to get the ball?
Yeah, I think you can see him moving around a lot more, and you're probably going to see him more inside in the slot. Jordan Love made a video about his favorite wide receivers and where he would put him, and he put Davante Adams into the slot doing choice routes, and I think that's what we're going to be seeing a lot. And basically, his choice routes is when a slot receiver has a three-way go, he can do a hitch, he can go outside, he can slant. And when you have Davante Adams, inside against a slot receiver, and he can do whatever he wants, it just becomes him getting open a lot. And, he's one of the best choice route runners in the NFL. He's got to get on the same page with Aiden O'Connell. I mean, that's going to take some work, and they're probably working on that stuff during training camp and getting ready for the season that way. But you're going to see him more inside. Of course, you can still see him outside and running fades and different things like that. But I think you're going to see him have more catches and maybe a lower lower reception yards per reception than we usually see from him as he's been a Raider. I mean, in 2022, he was about 15 yards. Last year, he ended up about 11. So I think we'll probably see him around that amount. And, maybe he's not getting the 1,500 yards, but he's got a lot of catches and a lot of targets, and he'll give you more effective with the better completion percentage.
All right, let's cut to the chase, guys. It's been 2 years with Davante Adams with the Raiders. It's been 2 years where he has expressed frustration. We're not going to, skirt the issue. It's been what it is. What needs to happen, Marcus, this year so that you avoid those types of situations where frustration starts bubbling to the top?
Well, they got to win some games. I mean, let's be real. I mean, they got to win some games. I mean, he can say that he can get all the targets, and sometimes he just wants to, be part of the greatest. But, you have to – it's going to get frustrating for a player his age to not have them winning games.
But let me ask you this, Marcus, real quick, not to cut you off. But yeah. I agree. I think they need to win some games, but I think they need to win some games in a particular way as well.
Yeah, and I agree with that, too. I think they got to be a little dominant. And maybe how they played a little bit how they ended the year last year, there was a lot of blowouts. I mean, the Raiders ended up with a point differential of plus point differential for like the first time in years.
Yeah.
And one part of that is because of the 30-6 wins, the 27-14, the 63-21. Mm-hmm. You got to have those type of wins to show this a little bit more of a dominant team to kind of bring a lot of those rumors down. But I think if you feed him and they're winning, I think he'll be fine. And I think he likes Aiden O'Connell too. There's even at the end of the receiver show, you saw him, kind of give him some love after the last game. So I think that he does have a little bit of rapport with him. And, if Aiden's feeding him and they're winning games, I think that's what you got to see from Davante. And that's what he wants to see. And the thing is, I think he believes in Antonio Pierce, and he thinks that's going to happen.
Marcus Johnson, Tape Don't Lie on YouTube. Where do you line Davante up when it's red zone? And how does he get more balls to catch touchdowns?
I think that's where you really want to line him up outside. I mean, that's where he can really get to work.
Okay.
I mean, you can move him inside there too. And, a lot of his touchdowns in Green Bay, a lot of them were a little kind of manufactured at the 1 yard line. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he threw a lot of touchdowns inside the five, and one of those reasons you have one of the best red zone receivers in the league. And I think you got to, you know, that's something you got to work on during training camp. And right now is those fade routes, getting the timing on there, knowing when Devontae is going to get out of that break, because he is an orthodox route runner. He's going to do what he wants to do out there. The timing, you have to make sure you get it down. And when you work with him in practice, that's when you can get that timing down. That's what, how him and Aaron Rodgers were able to work. Aaron Rodgers had that timing down with him where he was able to get the ball out exactly when he was getting out of his break and different things like that. And you actually saw O'Connell do a little bit better than that even Derek Carr did. So I think that you have to kind of work on that. But I think they also can move him around too there and, you know, manufacture some matchups and try to figure out how they can, you know, get him some one-on-ones. But in the red zone, they just got to throw him the ball. I think you got to look to him. He's going to make plays for you. I mean, even if you underthrow it a little bit, he might jump over somebody and make that catch. You just have to trust him and keep getting him the football.
Whether it's maybe helping Devontae Adams get the ball more in those possibility in those scenarios, or just helping the Raiders, be more efficient in the red zone, how can Michael Mayer and Brock Bowers help that cause?
Yeah, I think if you can, you know, get them going early in the season, it kind of makes them a threat. That's what you have to do to open up for Devontae in the red zone a little bit. I think you have to, you know, weeks one and two, or, you know, even, you know, weeks one through three, if you're targeting them in the red zone and if they're getting a couple touchdowns, and then teams have to worry about them. Because I think, you know, Luke Getsy does do a good job of creating matchups. I think that's probably one of the best things he does when I watch him, is he can find he'll pick on somebody. And I think if you have those two tight ends and you have maybe a linebacker that can't guard those guys, mm-hmm. you're able to kind of open it up for them. And that can open up everything for Devontae, because, you know, teams are going to have two safeties and they're going to have a safety over Devontae no matter what. They're going to have guys moving around him. And I think if you can open up with the tight ends, especially in the middle of the field, they're going to have some great matchups, a lot of one-on-ones that they're going to get that, you know, it's not really talked about as much, how we have two tight ends that are going to be up against linebackers one-on-one a lot more often and not going to have a lot of safeties, because that safety has to help with Devontae, and that's going to open up everything for Brock Bowers and Michael Mayer. So that is going to open up for them, which then if you can create a threat with them, you can open up more for Devontae. But like I said, they're going to be moving Devontae around and finding different ways to get him the ball anyways, but those guys in the red zone are going to play a big factor, because it's not going to be many people that can guard them one-on-one.
Marcus Johnson here on Raider Nation Radio at the Mark John NFL on X. Let's go to your recent TDL, the Tape Don't Lie, up on YouTube. You did a 53-man projection before training camp. What were some of the things that you that were outliers that you did not expect before you started to make this projection list?
One thing, it was just a lot easier than usually the past couple of years. I feel like we have kind of the same team coming back a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not too many new players coming in, and there's not too many old players coming out. Like, they didn't lose too many options and starters, basically, is what I'm trying to say. I mean, you could move in a couple guys, couple pieces, but, like, the offensive line is basically all of them are coming back. They just added in Jackson Powers Johnson. They got a couple of depth guys in behind him. Wide receiver, you know, maybe they lost one guy, but, you know, they added in Michael Gallup. But you still have Trey Tucker, Jacoby Myers, and Devontae Adams. Still have Michael Mayer there. They added in Brock Bowers. And even on defense, you kind of got the same corners there. So you expect a lot of these guys to make the team. So, you know, some people I kind of just added it or just try to get a little funky with it, like maybe having Amir Abdullah not make a team and maybe Britton Brown and things like that, because nothing just goes perfectly.
No.
So I don't know how that's really going to go, but like it just felt like the same team is coming back. It was just a lot easier to plug these guys in. I felt like the team is fit. I mean, especially besides the quarterback starter at this point, it seems like everything is kind of already around it. One thing I did notice, though, is, you know, at cornerback, you feel like they might need to add somebody there, add some more depth to that position, because it just seems like the weakest spot on the team right now.
Where would you go for that depth?
I mean, there's a lot of places you can go. I mean, I think you can even go, I like Gilmore a lot. I think adding in Gilmore just for that veteran presence is a big thing for me. I mean, you can see that he's even trying to put himself out there at this point. I mean, he's got an agent reaching out to Justina Anderson. And so he's trying to find a way to get on the NFL field. I think you can get him for a good price. I've been watching him on film a little bit the last couple of days, and I think that he still has it, especially in the zone game and, you know, even man-to-man. You know, there's some moments where he's going to get beat and things like that. I mean, just because he's not the same guy, he's an older player. But I think he can come in and really solidify that cornerback room. I think Matt Holder, he's going to be looking at Xavier Howard this week. So we get to get a look at him, too, a little bit, and see what he can do. But I really like Gilmore. You know, it's just when you have one of the better corners in the NFL, you know, maybe he's not the guy in 2019, but he's still going to bring a lot to the room, especially for the young guys, since they have a younger secondary for sure.
Did Dallas have a younger secondary that Stephon Gilmore walked in? What allowed him to, you know, he played very free. In fact, he became very relied upon in the defensive secondary for Dallas last year. What was about that system that allowed him to play so well?
I mean, a lot of it is because that system, they play a lot of man there.
Okay.
And it's, you know, it's kind of with what Dan Quinn likes to do. It's kind of very similar to what Gus Bradley does, right? I mean, they play a lot of cover three. They play a lot of man. Okay. And, you know, he played with Gus Bradley the year before in Indianapolis. So he has a fit for that system. And, you know, the Raiders played a lot of cover three last year. The most it was the highest coverage that they played in by percentage was cover three. So he's a fit. It just to come in and work what Patrick Graham likes to do in general with this defense and the personnel that he has. And then you could allow him to switch it up. He's a smart guy. He's played in every coverage. He played in the Patriots system. He's played, you know, in Buffalo, and you know he was a star out there. And he just being one of the better corners in football is just something that he brings to the table. But a fit for the system, he is really perfect for it, because like I said, the Raiders play a lot of cover three. And, you know, even when they mix up coverages, he'll be ready for that. But he's definitely a fit that can come in and plug and play.
Who were your fourth, fifth, and sixth wide receivers? And give me your reserve linemen. Offense.
So fourth and fifth wide receiver. I like Michael Gallup a lot. Mm-hmm. I do. I think that's a good best one. Just because if somebody went down with injury, you could see him coming in and yep. doing a pretty good job outside, right? He's not the best guy in the world, but you can get it done. He can get open. He can win against some average corners. He can get it done. I really like Tulu Griffin there as mm-hmm. well. I really like Tulu Griffin. I think there's a chance that he will make the team. It's going to be hit between him and DJ Turner at that point. You know, DJ Turner is a gunner and you know, does have a lot of special teams, especially with Tom McMahon. But I think Tulu Griffin can replace him there. And he's a little younger and he's a better receiver. So that's going to be the dynamic there. You know, another guy that I think has a chance to really make the team is probably Jalen Guyton, because I just think they need more speed there. Okay. I think they have a guy that Tom Telesco really likes. And, you know, he's played in the West Coast system a lot. And if he can, you know, show that same speed and so that he recovered from that knee injury he had, because he's a little slower on film than last year, if he can show that he got that speed, I think there's a chance that he could be the sixth guy on this team.
Defensive linemen, who are some of the guys that are going to be on the back end of that? Because we're wondering about who's going to start to ascend themselves, names like Byron Young to Nesta Jade-Silvera to even Matthew Butler.
Yeah, you know, I think Nesta is a guy that definitely has a chance to kind of show himself a little bit. I think when he played last year, he played well. Maybe had some off the field things that, you know, kind of he, you know, went off on and kind of didn't really, you know, show that he could actually stay on the field that way.
Okay.
But when he played really well. And I think that's somebody that he could really show his way onto this team. And that's somebody that I put on the personnel thing. I didn't answer Vinny's second question though about the reserve.
Go ahead. Yeah, on the offensive line.
I want to go back to the line.
Please
real quick.
Do.
I do like Pete there. Whitehair is. I definitely think he's going to make this team just because I think he's, you know, he likes Luke Getsy there, and they can work that out. And I kind of like Dalton Wagner going in there and, mm-hmm. and getting that right tackle. And I think he has a chance to kind of be in one of those reserves. And of course, DJ Glaze being there. But back to defensive lineman. I think, you know, Byron Young has to show a lot. I think he has to show a lot to stay on this football team. I think on film last year, he really didn't do really anything that you drafted him for. You expected him to play the run well, and that didn't happen. And then, you know, he had a lot to work on as a pass rusher. He has to show a lot. I think Matthew Butler is a little bit of a sleeper, too, because he did get some playing time last year at the end of the year. And I think that his upside is being that kind of guy that comes in on third down, just like Adam Butler is. So that really was his ceiling when he was coming out of the NFL, was being that type of Adam Butler player when you come in and be a backup three technique or help with the pass rush on third down. I think Matthew Butler has to take that step and show that in the preseason, but there's just some good things he can do there.
You know, a guy that I'm curious about is Janarius Robinson, the reserve defensive end. He definitely passes the eyeball test. He actually played decently, you know, when he finally got his chance last year. Is he somebody that you feel still has some ceiling and upside left?
Yeah. I think, you know, you really saw how his impact, too, was the Chiefs game when they're able to have that really good rotation in there. And I think that, you know, I think Max Crosby has to play less snaps this year is one thing I'm talking about is, you know, him playing 1,000 snaps, especially, you know, with the chances of, you know, injury and things like that. I think they got to give him some more rest. So just also he could be more effective on third down, you know, like Myles Garrett and those type of guys are considered better than him. Don't play as many snaps as him, and they get a lot more breaks. And I think when you have a guy like Robinson and even Tyree Wilson kind of rotating in there, you'll have the ability to have these guys fresh for the fourth quarter. So I think that's going to be a big thing, is making sure that you have Max Crosby out there fresh for the fourth quarter and just kind of get after the quarterback. You know, and that's where Robinson comes in, and he definitely has some good bend and has ability to get to the quarterback. And, you know, he's a smart guy, too, with stunts and things like that. So I think Robinson is a guy that you can have in the rotation to help with Max Crosby taking less snaps so he can be more fresh for the fourth quarter.
Marcus Johnson, Tape Don't Lie, going over his projected 53-man breakdown of the projected roster before training camp here on Raider Nation Radio. I was just kind of wondering just the battle of the two reserve linebackers, Tommy Eichenberg, Amari Burney. That will be an interesting little competition to follow. How do you think that'll play out, and how many linebackers do you think did you have in your projected 53-man roster?
So with linebackers, I ended up with 5. I actually ended up keeping Kanai, if I say this right,
Malaga. Yeah.
Right. No, that's a good special teams player.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I ended up keeping him. And I ended up going Tommy Eichenberg. So I think Eichenberg is just going to show that he's better against the run. And, you know, he's going to be able to come in, especially in preseason. You're going to see a lot of that. You're going to see him making a lot of plays, making a lot of tackles. Because, you know, in the preseason when the games get later on, these guys are running the ball. They're not really trying to throw the ball 800 times. So, especially when you have, like, a third-string quarterback in there. And that's when you get to see Tommy Eichenberg really show himself. And then you're going to be able to see that in practice as well. And that's why I think he has a little bit of a step on him, because he's able to, you know, play the run really well. I mean, I think it was 2022. He's very highly graded there at PFF. He went down a little bit this year, a little bit with missed tackles, and sometimes he can have some issues with guys in space, but I think that he does a good job of gap integrity and attacking the right gap and knowing where to go. So I think he has a chance to really beat out Amari Burney there. And I think even in zone defense, I think Eichenberg is a little underrated. I think he's does a good job of getting to his spots. Maybe a little bit robotic, but, you know, those things are going to stand out when you're in practice, and I think it's good, you know, him getting to the right spot, understanding the system, and understanding what Patrick Graham wants to do. That's why I think he gets a little bit of a step there with Amari Burney. So you definitely have 5 linebackers out there, and I think Eichenberg will end up beating out Burney.
Oh, this is fascinating. One more, just in the safety position, how many safeties do make this team, and at the same time, the battle between Trey Taylor and Chris Smith?
Yeah, I went with 4 just because, you know, I think they're get a kind of, you know, stick to the same 2 safeties, okay, and then, you know, kind of move in Palom out there, and then they're not going to, you know, get really crazy with moving with the safeties there. But I went with Trey Taylor over Christmas, just because I think Trey Taylor is going to make some plays in the preseason, just because he's all over the field and he's just going to read some quarterback's eyes and he's going to make a play and it's kind of just going to stand out.
Nice.
And that playmaking ability is going to take him over the top of Chris Smith. You know, even though Chris Smith might be in the right position more than he is, or maybe Trey Taylor might move out of the spot and somebody might be open, but he might move out of the spot and pick the ball off. And that's the thing that he's going to do in the preseason, I believe, that's going to put him over the top and make this football team. But I still think, you know, Morag and Epps is a good safety group. I think they're a little bit underrated, and you add Isaiah Palomar in there too. Underrated safety group. Definitely has a better outlook than the cornerback group, but I ended up keeping 4 there.
All right, so we're telling you, go up to YouTube, subscribe to Tape Don't Lie, get this great information available. They do such a great job, Marcus Johnson and the crew. We're always providing fantastic content. What's in store this week?
So we are going to look at some free agent cornerbacks today. That should be dropping tomorrow, so definitely going to be looking at that, try to see, you know, what they can add late, you know, if they can bring in some veterans, and then getting ready for training camp. I mean, we're super close, and kind of just getting ready for that.
Good stuff. Marcus, thank you again for your time. Let's do it again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. That's Marcus Johnson, Tape Don't Lie, at the Mark John NFL on X. First of all, I liked hearing that name, Dalton Wagner. That was fun. You know,
yep.
What could happen for that young, you know, tackle that is just an absolute specimen physically, but he got injured in camp last year, and we were never really able to see it. But what that big body could do to kind of like even fortify a defensive line that is now changing in different sizes.
Yeah, offensive line. Yeah, and I'm curious to see him as well. Really want to get a chance to watch him, especially in preseason, you know, against live competition, and just see where he where he's at. A lot of what we're talking about with Dalton goes back to the college tape, and now just kind of projecting or you know, trying to think of the possibilities now in his second year, but. You know, it's time for him to get on the field, and I know he knows this, and show it on, you know, on the field. That would mean one, two, three backup tackles with Dalton, the young kid from Maryland, their mm-hmm. draft pick, Glaze, and then also Andrews, Pete, and Glaze, and Pete can also play guard. That's a lot of you also have Whitehead, so I don't know if there's enough room for all of those guys. We'll see. It'll be interesting, especially now with the special teams, where that is at. You know, needing a certain type of body type to be a successful, you know, a tackler on returns and the blocking and all that good stuff. Does that come at the expense maybe of an extra offensive lineman? We'll have to see.
Yeah, it's interesting because there's a. There's that thought of, all right, what kind of depth, but what kind of versatility do you have on the offensive line?
Mm-hmm.
Wagner, you know, when you're 6'8", 320 pounds, they just want to see what can you do. And I would love to see him stay in that field. You want to have those big bodies out there. But I love how you get, you know, that kind of mix. And especially if Jackson Powers Johnson is healthy and has no problems to be a starting left guard. Yeah, Andrus Pete is going to be that X factor for any possible injury or any sort of breakdown. You have a reliable guy that has played at a high level and is used to playing all the games in a season.
Yeah, and I think ideally the Raiders want him to focus strictly on left tackle. I think with Cody Whitehair, he could play left guard, he could play center, and he could play right guard. Even Jordan Meredith can do all of those things. So I think for Pete, for him to have to play some guard, something else would have had to go wrong. Maybe a couple of your backups got hurt, or both of your starters got hurt.
Yeah.
So I like that situation. I like the situation of him being your primary left tackle in case something happens to Colt Miller. That allows, you know, DJ Glaze to focus primarily on the right side. And then Dalton Wagner, what is he profile as? More of a backup left tackle, or maybe this, you know, both tackle positions, he and DJ Glaze, that'll be their kind of responsibility as well. So you can't keep them all. That's the problem. And I don't know that all three of those tackles end up making the team, you know, in reserve. We'll see.
Okay, we'll take a break. And on the other side, we'll go over some more of the stuff that Marcus gave us. We'll unpack some of that out of his early 53-man roster prediction. And we'll also take calls and text at 702-365-9200.
You know what some of this will come down to, Clay?
I can hazard a guess.
What do you guess?
Money.
Yes, exactly. I mean, you know, not to say that the Raiders are going to go the cheap route whatsoever. They're going to put pour every resource into it. But when you talk about, like, adding another cornerback or adding another offensive wide receiver, the money has to line up. I mean, every penny counts, not in terms of the expenditure, but, you know, saving it for a rainy day, being able to have the salary cap space in case there's a major emergency that you have to go fill a spot. So it definitely comes down, a lot of it comes down to money and how much you're willing to pay at the expense of your salary cap space. And it always drives home the point that money is extremely important. And sometimes we're in positions in life where we need it more than others in terms of something happening, an emergency, and maybe you need $500 or $5,000. And maybe you need that as early as today or tomorrow. And maybe you're losing sleep because the credit isn't where it needs to be or the credit cards are maxed out. I'm telling you, don't worry about it. Because for over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people who needed cash quickly. And all credit types are welcome. Now, cash is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. When you need cash, you need it now. So why wait? Go over to LendingStore.com. Let their experts find you a lender that could get you $500 to $5,000 in your bank account as early as tomorrow. Just go to LendingStore.com for all the details.
Thanks for joining us here on The Morning Tailgate. Vinny and Clay on your Wednesday. Ash Watkins from Salmon Ash Injury Law will join us at 9:45. Interesting stories coming out of the Georgia football program. As well as from Jack Black. We'll get into all that about 9:45 here on Raider Nation.
Fine
Radio.
Them!
Yes.
Why is that so controversial?
I don't know. It's like, you know, it's funny because you could never really find a college player before because they didn't really make money.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can hit them in the pocketbook this time.
That becomes part of the, I mean, and they're not, you know, we don't want it to get, this is what I would ask her, you don't want it to get to, well, you dropped five passes, I'm going to fine you. I mean, we're not talking about that. But if you get a speeding ticket or if you step out of line off the field,
yeah,
that should come at the expense of the money that you're making. I think it's a great idea by Kirby Smart. I'm with him.
It's funny because also, how do they get their hands on the money? Because it's not like a contractual thing where like a team actually controls the paycheck and you can kind of go into the accounting office and deduct it.
But it's a fund that gets probably direct deposited into your account. Every athlete at Georgia is part of that fund. You know, I'm sure there's some players that are making a little bit more, you know, based on what sport you're playing.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Whatever role you're making.
Right.
But that gets direct deposited and basically what happens is you know, they'll withhold a certain part of your weekly, monthly, whatever, however the money is dispersed, payment if you step out of line. And I think that's fine. That should be something that, look, if you're not going to do it, you know, if there has to be some repercussions, and if playing time or that sort of thing hasn't been enough, then we're going to hit you in the pocketbook.
And he's like, look, I'm not suspending somebody for driving over the speed limit, you know, for a speeding ticket.
Right.
You know, and it's like, what are you expecting me to do here? Like, this is like really my only option here is to fine. Okay. Mm-hmm. But everyone feels like this is not enough, you know?
It's not enough. Well, there's people, I was hearing people talking about that it's a slippery slope and they don't want, you know, unless you're part of a union or, you know, in a fine system in the NFL or professional sports, there's an agreement between owners and the union that represents the players. In terms of, you know, how far can teams go to you know, there's all sorts of rules and regulations to that, how much you can fine them, all of that type of stuff. And and I'm sure Ash is going to say this as a lawyer. She's going to say she's going to have some misgivings about how a coach can start levying these types of fines and take money from players when the players don't have protection, like lawyerly protection to protect against that. I guarantee you that's going to be her argument.
Well, there's an outcry because there's a large trend at the Georgia football program where athletes are getting a lot of automobile related injuries, speeding tickets.
No doubt.
There's a strange trend going on there for some reason. And it's like, all right, they want it to stop.
Right, no doubt. But my prediction,
so they're thinking the fines is not enough.
Well, I'm hearing the opposite argument, like you're gonna just arbitrarily take money out of somebody's pocket without that person having any kind of representation to fight back. And where do you stop? Where does that line end? Is it just these types of things, or again, what if the player isn't performing, to the level that you want? Can you just go in there and arbitrarily take money from?
Oh my God, could you imagine?
That's what because lawyers think along those lines.
Yeah.
It's not just for this. You start worrying. All right, if they start with this, where does this all end? So I'm almost going to guarantee that Ash's reaction is going to be more along those lines because she's in the business of protecting and fighting for somebody, not having somebody just, you know, step in and say, well, we're taking away $1,500 from you this week. Why? Well, you did this or you did that, you know, and for them to not have, any sort of protection to say, wait a minute, there needs to be a more uniformed way of doing this. And who's deciding all this?
Well, I'll tell you what, if there was a program that started doing that where they were just arbitrarily just fining left and right for, you know, some of the smaller incidences with the transfer portal, you would hear a giant sucking sound coming out of one program.
Right.
And next thing you know, regardless of how good of a recruiter you were once, you are now removed off that list.
No doubt. But Georgia's already started doing that. They're at least fining them for something. Yeah. And that becomes the question. Where does that end?
Alabama's all for the suspensions. Everyone who's trying to compete with Georgia's like, suspend them, get rid of all of them, we're in a lot of trouble. Hey, real quick from the text line, 702-365-9200, a question came in about the wide receivers as we were talking to Marcus Johnson about, you know, projected depth room, bringing up a guy like Jalen Guyton and Michael Gallup, but he also brought up a guy like Tulu Griffin versus DJ Turner. You know, DJ Turner's going to be a hard guy to leave off this list just because of of what he can bring in special teams. But he's also been somebody around the team for, it's hard to believe, but now since 2021, hasn't he been in and out of the Raiders, either practice squad or always in the mix somehow?
Yeah. Is it 2021 or 2022? He's been here at least 2 years. Maybe it is three. Somebody that came in and, slot wide receiver and, watching him, not forget the special teams because that's really been his meal ticket, especially starting last year to stay on the roster, not just the practice squad, but the roster. I've seen him do things in practice too, where you're like, okay, if it gets right down to it, I feel like he can go out there and acquit himself pretty well as one of the slot wide receivers. Can Tulu replicate the special teams and be even a better maybe potential prospect as a wide receiver? That's obviously what it would come down to, because whoever that guy is at number six, at number five, you're going to have to show that you can perform on special teams. And as Marcus pointed out, the gunner position on the punt team is extremely important, mm-hmm. and he's done a really good job doing that. Is Tulu somebody that, can do this? Remember, a lot of these guys that come into the NFL were stars of their team, and they weren't really expected or called upon to do a lot of special teams. So it's a mindset change, a willingness to I wouldn't say humble yourself, but understand like, hey, I'm not going to be the top dog that I was in college. This is what I have to do right now to stay on the team. And it is a mind change to accept that kind of a role and then flourish in that kind of role.
Yeah, a lot. You're going to have to really have a superlative effort to knock DJ Turner out, but we'll see. That's what we love about training camp, and we'll find out more and keep you updated as the days and weeks progress. It's Raider Nation Radio. Ash the Attorney comes up next for a little street legal. We'll start with Kirby Smart and the Georgia program, finding their players. All that and more, it's next.
Back to the Morning Tailgate with Clay and Vinny.
All right, you hear the music. You know it's time for Sam and Ash Injury Law. It's time to get street legal with Sam. Ash! Got the new phone number. Check it out. If you are hurt in a crash, call Sam and Ash, 702-303-0333. Available in both Nevada and in California. Ash, a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for being with us. All right, let's get into it. Georgia football. Kirby Smart says his players are being fined by collective for driving-related violations. There's a long-standing trend of, arrest, driving-related charges, and he's trying to find a way to go and, either stop it or deter it. But at the same time, what they've decided to do is players that could be facing suspensions for driving violations, they have another internal punishment. They're going to be fined via the program's collective, which has been happening a while, Kirby Smart says. Let's discuss this. Do you think this is a good approach to try to encourage players, staff too, to follow the driving laws, as with the team rules per se?
I mean, look, I support anything that's an effort to enhance safety on our roadways and promote safe driving amongst young individuals and old individuals alike. If it works, absolutely, I support this. If it shows that it's not really working, then look, I think we need to get more creative here, or we actually need to start taking away the opportunities that these individuals are at Georgia for, which is playing football. And so I think that right now they're trying to avoid suspensions and missing playing time by fining these individuals. But if they're making too much money, then, we see the fines don't have that impact. And so I hope that it does ultimately work. And if it doesn't, I think they need to reconsider the approach.
Is it legal? Discuss the legality of fines, because do you believe that this is part of the contract that players and coaches sign up for?
Absolutely. I mean, look, I think as a player, and most of the players are probably not going to fight it unless it's someone that didn't do anything wrong. If the options before a young college athlete are pay a fine or miss two games of playing time, they're going to pay it. They're not going to fight that. And so I think it's part of the deal, and it's part of what the agreement is. I show up, I get a free education, I get to play football, and in exchange, these are the rules and obligations I have to follow.
Okay, if you're getting arrested, if you're getting tickets, and there's a problem, if there's a recidivism, you know, if you're more than just your second time offender, I could see where some of these fines go down. But could you see eventually other programs taking this and start putting in arbitrary fines for being late to practice, getting poor grades, things like that?
Ooh, well, I mean, look.
And how legal is that?
Look, it's legal. I mean, these kids, they're getting NIL deals. And so I'm sure somewhere in those NIL deals is an agreement, especially when they're coming through the organizations or the school's booster program directly, that they will behave and they will follow certain rules or subject themselves to forfeiture of certain amounts of their contracted deal. And look, I think, remember, we're now paying these student athletes. Mm-hmm. So they're becoming more and more like professional athletes day in and day in. And professional athletes, they get fined left and right. They get fined for sleeping through film. They get fined for not showing up. They get fined for poor behavior off the field. And so eventually the only outcome, if that's not deterring it, is the coaches have to step in and realize the players not changing their behavior by the monetary penalties. So I need to take away what they love most. And it's not clearly not money, it's playing. And so that's kind of how I see it playing out.
You know, what about another program idea? And I think you may have come up with this before about using money from fines to help pay for rideshare for players to avoid drinking and driving and other things like that.
100%. I think that's one of the things these boosters really need to be focusing on, not just attracting the best athletes to your school, but setting them up for success. And with rideshare, it's so easy for individuals to get codes and to like share it. I mean, if our office, we have a party, a holiday party, every individual in the office is getting an Uber code so they do not drive to or from those places. And so why programs haven't instilled this? Maybe they have. It's just adopting use. I know the NFL had a program where, you know, you could call someone at any given moment for a ride, and players just weren't utilizing it for whatever reason.
Right.
So, you know, you can lead you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force them to drink. So at the end of the day, these players need to be making better decisions for themselves. And all we can do as a society, as a school, as a program, is find ways to help them learn and develop into great individuals and upstanding members of our society.
It's Ashley Watkins from Salmon Ash Injury Law, Street Legal, 9:45 every Wednesday at this time. If you are injured or hurt in a crash, call Salmon Ash, 702-303-0333, salmonashlaw.com, online, available both in Nevada and California. You know, here's another thing, and I'll never get a chance to see Jack Black and Kyle now. I have a feeling that this is going to miss Las Vegas, because that world tour has been canceled after Jack Black canceled the rest of the tour after Kyle made a reply on social media about Donald Trump's assassination attempt. Okay, so Jack stopped it. He doesn't want to condone hate speech or encourage political violence. Could this ever come up to a lawsuit where Gas files a lawsuit against Black for canceling the tour? Because, you know, it's somebody's opinion, right? But at the same time, what about his agent and putting in some litigation against him for being fired in the first place?
Look, I mean, the comments occurred. We saw them. The reaction and the backlash from such disgusting comments, regardless of political affiliation or whatever, that's just a horrible thing to wish upon anyone. And so as a result, I mean, look, there was a video, there was thousands of people that witnessed it. So yeah, he really doesn't have a defense. And look, these venues, they didn't want anything to do with him. His PR company, they don't want anything to do with him. So of course his bandmate can say, absolutely, get out. Like, you're a bad look. This is one of those things where your reputation is too damaging and you're clearly a PR risk for everyone, and it's not worth it. And that's the decision that Black gets to make, and the PR company gets to make, and all of these individual venues were evaluating whether or not they wanted that concert in their facility.
Well, this is crazy times. I absolutely love it, Ash. We could do anything with you. We could talk Kirby Smart. We could talk Jack Black. Yeah. We could do it all. And you do so many different things and great things for the community here in Southern Nevada, as well as providing great work for your clients. 702-303-0333. I know it's a busy day for you. Thank you for making time for us. Let's do it again next week.
Anything for Raider Nation, Clay.
Oh.
Anything for the nation.
Oh, boy, I tell you, we love you for that. Thank you, Ash. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
For Vinny, I'm Clay. Have a great day, everybody. We are off on Thursday and Friday. We will see you back on Monday here on Raider Nation Radio.